In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today is the seventh Sunday of Easter. We're almost over the Easter season, the great 50 days. Next Sunday when we gather, it'll be Pentecost. More about that in the announcements. But this past Thursday marked 40 days after the resurrection. And according to the book of Acts, it was 40 days after the resurrection that Jesus ascended into heaven. Now, we don't often get to talk about the ascension because it happens on a weekday, on a Thursday. Who comes to church on Thursday? We did talk about it Wednesday night at our weed service, but we're going to talk about it today too. Because the ascension is an important understanding of God and of Christ. Different churches, different denominations tend to emphasize different aspects of our Lord's life. Some emphasize Good Friday and the cross. Some emphasize Easter Sunday and the resurrection. Episcopalians traditionally try to hold it all in balance. We try not to let one get ahead of the other. For us, it's the entire incarnation that's important. The life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ are all part of what makes salvation. It's not just one part of it, it's all of it. That Christ became incarnate. I mean, that alone should astound us. That God would become one of us. And then not only be one of us, but because he's one of us, has to die. That's the destiny of us human beings. We will one day die. And so Christ, in choosing to become human, had to die. And died in the most horrific way possible, crucified, while being mocked and jeered, being abandoned by friends. Awful, terrible way to die. But overcame that death. God raised him from the dead. So the worst that human beings go through, our Lord triumphs over. And then even there, didn't stop. Because after spending time teaching the apostles how all of Scripture points to what Christ had done and who Christ is, he ascended into heaven. And like I said, we tend to skip over this bit, but it's a key part of the whole thing. I mean, think about what it says. Now granted, our cosmology, our way of understanding the world is different from first century Palestine. For them, the world was pretty simple. You had the earth, and over the earth you had a dome that was the sky, and above that was heaven, and below the earth was the netherworld, Sheol, or Hades, or whatever. It's where dead people went. Jesus ascended into heaven. Now, for us, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He went up in the sky and kept going and bypassed the moon and went towards Saturn. Our understanding had to change a bit. No, we're not saying that he took off like Superman. We're saying that Christ took our human nature into very God, into the Godhead, the technical term for it. That our humanity became part of God. That we share in the divinity of Christ. That he bridges that gap between the divine and us. And he makes us one with God. The incarnation, the coming of Jesus Christ, is more than just about the forgiveness of sins. An important aspect, no doubt. But if there had been no sin in the world at all, the incarnation still would have taken place. It's still part of God's plan to draw creation into God's self, to form and to make something with physicality and turn it divine, to draw it into God. That is the ultimate in creation and in love. And the ascension is a key component of that. By ascending, by being seated at the right hand of the Father, an aspect of our humanity is part of God, which allows us to be part of God, to join into full communion with our Creator. That's an amazing thought. And it's something that really blew the minds of the people back then. The wording that we see, that this is vindication of Christ. I mean, put yourself in the position of a first century Jewish person. Here's this guy from Nazareth, of all places, who comes in and says that he knows all about God. And he says some pretty radical things. Although it's all there in the prophets, he just brings it out in a different way. But it's completely different from what the religious leaders have been telling them. They've been hearing, it's very important that you tithe, that you do this, that you do that, that you don't eat this and do that. And here's Jesus saying, no, it's more about love. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he gets crucified for his troubles. And people think, good, we fixed that problem. No more rabble-rousing. We can go on with our lives. But those who did believe in Christ as the Messiah, as the anointed one of God, as God incarnate, had to keep reassuring each other, we're doing the right thing. Everyone they knew, family, friends, acquaintances, the people at church, the people at the water cooler, wherever they were telling them, you're making a mistake. Why would you worship Jesus? He died. They nailed him to a cross. Get over it. But they believed. They believed in the resurrection. They believed in the ascension. After 2,000 years of Christianity, we just let it flow off our lips. But think about what happened. That this guy who claimed to be the Son of God was executed, and people still followed him. And it was because of the resurrection and because of the ascension, because of the certainty that he is seated at the right hand of God. Far from being cursed and gotten rid of by God through crucifixion, Jesus Christ was raised up to God to sit at God's right hand. There can be no greater vindication than for our Lord and Master and Creator to say, come to me, sit with me, rule with me. That's why we are Christians. That's why Christianity exists. It's the exaltation of Jesus Christ. And then through that, we get to share. It was so hard for the early followers of Christ to follow Christ. By the end of the first century, they've been told, don't bother coming to church anymore. Synagogue. Don't come on the Sabbath. Go away. You're doing the wrong thing. And yet they persevered. They kept the faith. And they shared the faith. In many ways, it was much easier for Gentiles to come into the fold than for other Jews. The Jews thought they knew what they were talking about. But God had made a new revelation in Christ. And it's so hard to trust something new. We think new and improved is nice and shiny, but no, we really want tried and true. Don't go changing things on us. And yet Christ changed everything. And thank God there were those few. Well, we're up to 120 now, according to Acts. And from that start, from that group who keeps the faith, who despite being told over and over again, you're wrong, you're doing the wrong thing, you're spitting in God's face, come back. But they didn't. They spread the good news of God and Christ, and we benefit from that. And we too keep the faith. So the idea that God became incarnate and was crucified and died, was buried, but then rose again and ascended into heaven, shouldn't be just words. They should inspire us. They should draw us in. They should give us hope. They should support our faith. They should challenge us. We should be aware of the audacity of what we proclaim. Because it is life-altering. It is transformative. It makes a difference in us and in the world. May we live into that transformative power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that through the Holy Spirit, that our lives will show forth that incredible love and compassion of Christ. It's no easy task, but it is our task. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.